Welcome in. Thank you so much for being with us here. Hour number three on this November 27th. Are you counting down to Christmas in the Ross household?
You're shopping done yet?
Yeah, it's done, man. It's complete. I got a large group. I got you Chip Kelly to UCLA.
Okay.
Can't return that, though. No receipt.
Didn't ask for that,
no,
but I will accept it. I will accept it. Was it the gift that keeps on giving?
Perhaps. Yeah. I think it might.
Well, I hope so.
I'm bigger on it than you are. Right. I give you these Santa Slam tickets.
Well, that's not for me.
Oh.
That's for someone else.
That is for someone else. It's going on December 8th at McClellan Conference Center, Santa Slam with Andy Grammer and Morgan Wallen, right up the lowdown's alley here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get you set up for the Santa Slam, right now.
Santa Slam.
We'll get you all set up. Okay. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Doesn't Santa Slam sound like what Vince McMahon would have came up with if he didn't come up with Survivor Series?
It's Santa Slam, pal! The new Christmas Day tradition. I'm surprised Vince McMahon never did a Christmas pay-per-view.
It's not too late.
Who doesn't want to? Well, it is, because now the NBA dominate. They used to do Thanksgiving pay-per-views.
Really?
The Survivor Series used to be on Thanksgiving Day. And they changed it because they started doing everything on Sundays. Mm. They did one on New Year's Eve once, or New Year's Day. It was a disaster. Like, Vince wants to own all the holidays. It was up to him.
How's that going for him?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Not going good for the Memphis Grizzlies as well. LeBron James just tweeted, "I need some answers. Feel like my man was a fall guy."
LeBron James needs the answers?
Yeah, LeBron
what's
needs,
happening
hey,
in Memphis?
Yes. Huh. It's his guy, David Fizdale. Come on, man. David Fizdale, this was a story we did not expect to have for you here today. But David Fizdale is out as the head coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. The eternal interim head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, will take over duties. I think they're 7-11 right now. There was one point where they were, I think they were the last team to lose. If they weren't, they were pretty close to it. They did have the best record in the year. They did have the best record through the first, maybe 10 games of the season or so. But, man, things turn quick. You mentioned Mike Conley's out. And apparently there was some major, major dust-ups between Mark Gasol and David Fizdale. And after the last game, apparently, some texts I'm getting here, after the last game, Fizdale and Gasol got into it pretty bad. Gasol didn't play in the entire fourth quarter, and that didn't sit well with him. And thus, player versus coach, as you noted, Jay Ross.
Yeah.
Player always wins.
So,
LeBron's looking for some answers.
I was going to say, connecting the dots with Bron, he's not going to go to Memphis.
He's not going to Memphis. That is an
take one team off the list.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first on the lowdown. He is not going to Memphis. LeBron James is not going to Memphis. Mm. But you can listen in Memphis. You can listen anywhere in the country. You can listen anywhere outside the country. Just download the new KHTK app. We had told you that some of our streaming stuff was going to be changing over the course of the next few weeks. Well, it's changed, and we have a new app. You can listen to The Lowdown and all of the other shows that you don't like nearly as much as this one right there on the app. So go to the App Store for whatever mobile device you have. The KHTK app will be there, and you will be able to listen to us, Jim Rome included. You won't be able to listen to Kings games. We've been over that 1,000 times, but you'll be able to listen to all your favorite shows right there on your phone. We were talking a little bit about just kind of touch on everything. We joked about Chip Kelly to UCLA. It was a strange, strange weekend, both on the field and off the field in college football. The nonsense going on with the University of Tennessee. Kevin Sumlin is out at Texas A&M. We didn't spend a lot of time. He never got his feet back after Johnny Manziel left.
No, and he had the bad loss, obviously, to UCLA this year, and people had already buried them. They regrouped and then kind of fizzled at the end. He has always been a hot name. I've heard his name mentioned a couple other spots of those guys that are out, like Mora, Graham at Arizona State. You know, Florida made the change. Tennessee made the change. I feel like Sumlin's someone that'll get a job pretty quickly.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah. So I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's on a sideline this next summer or this next year, excuse me.
Raiders beat the Broncos. You're well aware of that. No discipline has come down. If there's going to be any additional discipline for Crabtree and Tlaib, we have not gotten that. I know Aqib Tlaib spoke to reporters today. He said, "I came out to play a football game. I don't know what he came out to do." You were the one who snatched his chain. He just retaliated. Yeah. He had to retaliate because, you know, he got his chain snatched last year and didn't do anything about it. You know he took a beating when he got home.
Yeah.
From everybody. You let that dude snatch your chain like that? You can't do that, man.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for fighting in football or in any sport. But every once in a while, I understand why you punch somebody.
Yeah.
I think it was silly for him to punch him in the helmet because on top of all of that, we could have had a story today that said, oh, and by the way, Michael Crabtree out for the next 6 weeks because he broke his hand.
Right.
But that's not the case.
Well, the other part about the game that was interesting to me was the news the Raiders made last week by firing Ken Norton Jr., elevating Pagano there to the John Pagano to the defensive coordinator. And so there's your first game to evaluate. I think it's tough to evaluate a position coach or a coordinator like that during the season. But they played Denver. They weren't giving up very many points. They were doing a good job, but I also felt like Denver's offense is so bad right now. Lynch gets the start. He was terrible. They bring in Simeon. Simeon actually played better, but I think that's incomplete. I don't really know if I felt the Raiders' defense was any better, worse, or indifferent. They played the right team at the right time.
It's hard to measure the value of that win, given all that's going on with the Denver Broncos. You play the teams in front of you.
Sure.
And they won.
Yeah.
That's all it really boils down to. The Chiefs lost again. The San Diego
I gotcha. Romo was doing it.
Can we just call them San Diego and let them play in Los Angeles? The Los Angeles Chargers, the north of San Diego Chargers, they're a game out of first place.
Yeah, tied with the Raiders.
They were done.
Yeah.
Like, we had them done. Okay, the Chargers are out. We know that for sure. The Broncos are probably out. Can the Raiders survive? The Chiefs said, hold my beer, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's make this interesting.
We want everybody back in the pool.
Well, they're all in.
Except for Denver, probably.
Denver's not in.
Yeah.
Denver ain't getting back in. Elway is not welcome. But
it's Adult Swim. Broncos, you're out.
You're out, guys. But the Raiders and Chargers are right there. Legitimately, they're competing for the division now.
Yeah, what would be
great. That's how bad things have fallen off for Kansas City.
I don't know if it'll happen this week because I wouldn't think Kansas City would lose this week, but hey, what they've done lately, I can't say anything. And if they lost this week, Raiders and Chargers win, there they are. Four games to go, everybody 6-6. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be awesome.
And they play each other. You know, the Raiders still play the Chiefs, Chargers still play the Chiefs. That'd be fun to see.
Their offense has become anemic.
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what. You know, you had asked me from the beginning what my problem was with Alex Smith. I just didn't feel like he was a quarterback that would elevate an offense that could make those big plays. And I was wrong early in the season. He was. They were making bigger plays. Now, when was the last time you saw anything good from Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill? Just the offense. The loss to the Giants 2 weeks ago was awful.
That was a bad one.
Losing this, nothing is going right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Raiders can be thankful because they maybe should be out of the equation, but they're not. They are more than in it, and they can still do some damage if all things go right for them.
Can I tie a couple of teams here together?
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Cowboys, because you just got on Alex Smith. Now, we haven't talked about the Cowboys because it feels like their latest loss was an eternity ago because it was on Thanksgiving. But we haven't talked to you since then. So the Chiefs, you're talking about Alex Smith, and can he lead a team, and can he make a team better? Can he be a guy who creates plays? How much of that do you put on Andy Reid? And let me give you my tie-in to the Dallas Cowboys. The feeling was, what are the Dallas Cowboys going to be able to do without Ezekiel Elliott? And the fact is, you can look at all of the – I mean, the numbers are, like, embarrassing. It's like 90-20 or it's something absurd like that has been the scoring differential since Ezekiel Elliott has started serving his suspension 3 games ago. But one thing that has greatly changed is the number of runs that they call. And I know that they've fallen behind in a number of games. I know that their defense has put them in some tough positions a couple of times. I know Dak hasn't been nearly as efficient, but I think that's the chicken and the egg right there. Is Dak not efficient because Ezekiel Elliott isn't there? Is Dak not as efficient because the Cowboys aren't running the ball as much? Or is all of that happening because Scott Linehan is changing the play call? Alfred Morris is running almost 5 yards per carry. He's running like 4.6 yards per carry. That's a good clip. Why not give him the ball?
I was watching that. Knowing how you feel about the run game, watching that on Thanksgiving going, this is exactly what you're talking about, where he was running effectively enough. You put more pressure on Dak when you start to throw and throw exclusively. And then the game started to get away from him, but it was before that they abandoned the run.
Yeah, they've never fully bought into Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
And Dak has suffered because of it. I think the entire team has suffered because of it. They've put their fullback out there and have tried to run plays with their fullback instead. So going back to Kansas City, how much of – we've seen Alex Smith unload the ball this year.
Yeah.
In a way that we hadn't seen him do it previously. We haven't seen him do it in much of the last 4 to 5 weeks. Well, why? Is that on Alex Smith? Is that on Tyreek Hill? Is that on that offensive group? Is it on the offensive line? Or is it on Andy Reid and the plays that they're calling?
Yeah, it's probably all of it, but I'm looking at their box score yesterday. Kansas City ran 19 times. They threw it 36, so it's not even. But the yards they're getting, I mean.
That's Andy Reid football, though, right there, yeah. Right? That is traditional panic mode Andy Reid football. I'm going to throw the ball.
And what they ended up doing is Alex Smith completed 23 passes. That's a decent amount, but 199 yards. I mean, there's just nothing downfield, and then nobody can run. Kareem Hunt, 11 carries for 17 yards.
Yeah.
They did play a good Bills defense. I will give them that. But this was in Kansas City, a team that needed a win, kind of desperate for a win, and got outplayed most of that game. So they have let the division wide open, right back in it. Chiefs were looking like the best team, most complete, well-balanced team. And they lost to the Steelers. What is their five? Yeah, lost to the Steelers and that weird one to the Raiders. They beat the Broncos, then lost it to the Cowboys, the Giants, and now the Bills. And they go to the Jets this week. And like I said earlier, if they somehow lose and the Raiders and Chargers win, all three teams would be 6-6 with four to go.
If you had to pick one right now that you like the most out of those three teams, we're going to rule Denver out. Who is it?
Chargers.
Me too.
Yeah. Best front four.
Yep. Best quarterback in the division.
I will say the best quarterback. I mean, I think Carr has that ability, but the most consistent over years to come, you know, and probably at the moment the best running game. I mean, yeah.
Now it's the best. It wasn't earlier.
Gordon.
Yeah. Melvin Ingram is just as deadly on the other side.
Front
of the
four,
ball.
And Bosa. Yeah. I mean, the problem, what I don't like about the Chargers is how they invent ways to lose in the fourth quarter. But if they avoid that, I mean, it's right there for them.
You know, that's been their thing. You know, for like 2 years,
Yes. Is
creative fourth quarter losses. But maybe you can shake that.
Maybe.
Because, again, they're closing out games, and they're winning. And if I'm the Raiders, if I'm a Raider fan, I'm far more nervous about the Los Angeles Chargers than I am the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs, you could go on the reputation of the Kansas City. As they're playing right now, there is nothing that you watch from Kansas City that leads you to believe, you know what, they're going to be fine next week. Or they're going to be fine the week after. They're going to be fine. It's like, you know, I heard Tony Dungy Thursday night talk about the Cowboys. Hey, don't worry if you're the Dallas Cowboys. You could still win this. And he goes over the schedule. They have a favorable schedule. They got Washington coming up next Thursday. They just, you know, and he lays this whole scenario out about, and it results in them running the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the TV like, Tony, what have you seen over the last couple of games that leads you to believe this team can win the next six? Like, we can create scenarios where, well, if this happens and this happens and this happens, oh, the Cowboys are going to be just fine. If this happens and this happens, the Raiders are going to be just fine. The question is, what have you seen that leads you to believe that? Well, the Raiders got that win against Denver. Great. That's a perfect, that's a perfect first step. Okay, what's next? Because you're going to have to play better. Moving forward, you're going to have to play better in week 13 and week 14 and week 15 than you did against the Denver Broncos last week. Okay, cool. But Dallas, you've got nothing to put your hat on. Like, oh, well, if we do that, you think if you commit to the run a little bit more, that'll take some pressure off Dak Prescott, and maybe he'll play like he played the first 7 or 8 games of the season. You think, but you don't know because you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it minus Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And they've put themselves in a position now where they're fighting for the playoffs, which I don't think they're going to make, but they're fighting for the playoffs, and they're trying to figure out what type of team they can be for the next three games.
Yeah, and, you know, for him to suggest at that moment when they're 5-5, they could win the last six, they would go 6-0 when they took 10 games to win five. It just didn't seem to add up, especially without Zeke. And on the Raiders side of things, I was feeling that this last week. I said, you know, you're now in the must-win territory. That's just what's happened. They have no margin for error. You have to beat a team like Denver who just is having a rough season. Then you host the Giants. These 2 weeks in a row were critical to set up the matchup with the Chiefs, to keep you in it. And then still after the Chiefs, it's Cowboys, Eagles, and Chargers. I mean, I think the Raiders' road is really, really difficult. They're going to have to play better football than they've been playing. And I think at this point it would be more surprising to me if they made it than if they didn't. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's just there's just no margin for error.
A couple of texts here. Jay Ross, give to you at 44-11-40. I've been saying all season Andy Reid is a fluke coach. He's garbage, probably a nice guy. But the game has passed him up. Awful coach. I don't think Andy Reid
is too far.
Yeah, I don't think Andy Reid is an awful coach. He also equates him. I assume it's a he. Forgive me if it's not. This person also equates him to Jeff Fisher. Mm. No,
no, nope.
No, definitely not. But what Andy Reid does in every, I know Philadelphia Eagle fans are riding high right now. But if you're a longtime Philadelphia Eagle fan, or you're just a football fan, and you go back to those Donovan McNabb, Brian Westbrook days. This was a constant conversation when watching the Philadelphia Eagles is why don't you put more on Westbrook's shoulders? Why are you making Donovan McNabb do it all?
Yeah.
And that's the – you have Kareem Hunt here. Like you gave the play discrepancy there a few minutes ago. That is textbook Andy Reid. And the times, you know, when we saw Kareem Hunt have those big games to start the season, that was so anti what we've seen him do. And now it's catching up with him. If I'm the Raiders, a couple of texts here. I'm not scared of the Chargers. They beat the Raiders on the last second field goal to win by one. Not scared of them at all. A couple of those texts here come here on the text line. Here's what I'll say to you about that. I've always made the Raiders and the Cowboys very comparable on both sides of the football. Really, Derek Carr is better than Dak Prescott at this moment right now. But their defenses, I think, are really similar, and their secondaries are probably equally as bad. Phillip Rivers threw for 434 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys secondary on Thanksgiving night. If they're a measuring stick for the Oakland Raiders and what they've had this year, that's a bad sign. He threw 33 times, he missed 5.
Yeah.
Five passes.
He was comfortable.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Very. And that number right there, that 434, that efficiency of Phillip Rivers against a very comparable secondary is what would make me nervous if I'm a Raider fan, because you still have a game to play and that against each other. And that, I mean, they're all important now at this point. I understand that. But when you have these head-to-head division matchups and team that you're trying to beat out for the division, you can't give up that many yards.
Well, and as much as we've joked about the Chargers and they're inventing ways to lose, I think about where they could be. We joked, we had Cannon guy week 2 when they fired the Cannon thinking they didn't. They had 4 games they've lost by 3 points or less. And the first 2 weeks were missed field goal kicks, very makeable kicks. So, you know, just give them 2 more wins. They don't win all those, but 2 more. Well, they're leading the division now, and we're thinking completely different about them, and they wouldn't have been chasing the season as they've been. So I think they're really pretty good. They've definitely got the best front 4, them or maybe even Denver, but Denver's not a factor anymore in the division. And then a good quarterback that you can rely on. In a running game, it's just they've had some bad luck losses. They already beat the Raiders once, and they said, oh, only by a field goal. Still was in your place.
Yeah.
And I know it's at the end is down there, and it'll be a ton of Raider fans, but – Chargers seem to have a little bit more going for them, more complete to me than the Raiders are.
And what is the Chargers scenario down there? Because we were talking about how L.A. is really missing out on good football with the way the Chargers are playing right now. And I know it hasn't been that way for the entire season, but the way that the Rams have played for the entire season, you have an exciting coach down there. You have one of the great quarterbacks. You have an exciting young quarterback on all these 2 different teams, and you're still not drawn down there. And if I'm a Charger fan and I don't know if there's actually Los Angeles Charger fans, which is why I find this statement weird. But show some pride when the Raiders play. Like, we've been waiting for the moment that the Raider Nation invades that Los Angeles StubHub Stadium all year. You can't let that happen. The bad thing is you
probably will.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. The bad thing is you probably already let it happen.
Yeah.
Like, you sold those tickets a long time ago. But, man, now you're competing for the division. And your team is essentially going to be playing a road game against a division rival. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
And they got things going down there. It just constantly brings up the question of what the hell was the NFL doing? Like, what were you doing with this move?
Yeah.
Where you have 2 really good teams down there, or the Chargers, I think, will be really good by the end of the year. I think they've of all of the teams, you know, if you want to, you could talk about Dallas. I think people saw Dallas coming. A lot of people saw Oakland underperforming this year. I don't think a lot of people saw San Diego underperforming because they were so decimated by injuries and are so talented on so many different positions they're the team that I think has underperformed the most. And them, this is normal, right? Didn't Norv Turner used to do this?
Oh yeah, they knocked for that.
December comes along, and you couldn't. They were the anti Dallas Cowboys because December would roll along, and the Cowboys would fold up and wither away, and the San Diego Chargers would put the San Diego Chargers would put their foot to the pedal and get rolling. They never won anything.
Right.
We're talking regular season here. That's what they did.
You know what I was thinking while you're saying that? That's week 17, that game, right, is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What the league has done before is on that week, if there's a game that decides a division, flex that out to Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Would they want to do that? Would they want to be in a spot where it's 95% Raider fans on a road game? I mean – but if it's for the division, that's your marquee matchup. I don't know what else is going to play that weekend, but would you want to do that at StubHub? To part of you would say, yeah, we're highlighting LA, but do you want to highlight that version of LA?
I think you can get away with it because it's the Raiders. I guess that's tough. So if it's flexed to a Sunday night, I mean,
like the final game, last team, you know, the Chiefs are out of the equation. This is the last playoff team in. Winner gets the division. If that's the scenario, could you imagine that?
And so you have a situation where a team moved up 2 hours and can't give fans, a team that's
leaving
4 hours away, that's leaving Oakland, is traveling down to Los Angeles. I guess it's just a reminder that the Raiders are the most popular team in Los Angeles.
The constant reminder that we already thought, but will be reaffirmed that day. But that would be messy for the NFL if they did it, but they may have to.
But do you have to highlight it?
What do you mean?
Do you have to highlight the surroundings? Like I mentioned, I was watching that Saints Chargers Saints Rams game. They didn't show, you know, they kept tight shots.
Right.
There were tight crowd shot. Tight shots on the field. They were trying not to show. It wasn't a terrible crowd. It wasn't like those pictures people post on Twitter 5 minutes after kickoff saying, "Look, no one's here." I mean, there were people there, but there were sections that were empty.
Well, here's your. Totally speculating forward here, Damian, but on potential Sunday night Week 17 flex games. Carolina-Atlanta, if that's for a division.
Could be.
Could be. Jacksonville-Tennessee.
Wow, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
But not as sexy.
Uh-uh.
And then really your only other opportunity would be Oakland and the L.A. Chargers, which that could be, you know, it kind of fits also West Coast. That's New Year's Eve too, isn't it?
That's tough. I don't know which one I don't know if they would go with Cam versus Matt Ryan or if they'd go with Raider Nation. I feel like they might go with Cam versus Matt Ryan. We'll continue. We'll stick with the NFL because there's a couple of teams. I mentioned there was something I wanted to say about the Packers. We'll talk more about the Steelers and their win last night. Also, a couple of teams that we haven't mentioned, Jay Ross, Minnesota 7-2, and you just mentioned Atlanta, Carolina. Both of those teams playing really, really well right now. We'll dig into that in the rest of Week 13. 13?
Yep.
In 13. The NFL season next. Can we give some love, Jay Ross? Give some love to the Folsom Lake College women's volleyball team. They made the State Elite Eight.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm friends with Coach Molly. I told you can have a shout-out, but we don't do, like, cute little shout-outs. Oh, you won a game. Now you're competing for a championship. Yeah. Now we got to show you some love.
The Elite?
The Elite.
Yeah.
The Elite?
The Elite. The Elite Eight, as a matter of fact. The state championship begins on Saturday at Solano College. So, Coach Molly, I know they're listening right now, right before practice. So.
Oh, nice. Well, good luck.
Get your team ready.
Yeah.
Get the job done like the Steelers did last night. They got the job done. You weren't as impressed with that game as I was. Because you don't like the Packers. You feel – I'll go back to your first comment regarding the Steelers on the season when they beat Cleveland was like they just did enough to win.
Yes. And they've done that a lot this year.
But I don't think last night counts.
Now, why is that?
Because I think Brent Hundley played really well.
He did. He had his best game by far as a starter.
And I think that – I want to give him more credit.
Okay.
Because I certainly expected Pittsburgh may run away with it. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's defense would have their way with the rookie quarterback. So I want to give Brent Hundley more credit rather than take some away from what Pittsburgh did last night. Pittsburgh, that game was entertaining as hell.
It was.
And when Pittsburgh got the ball there, and you know Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to go far. He's got Antonio Brown out there. You know He's just one of those guys. Like, I feel like Montana and Brady and Jordan with his ball in the final possession, with the ball in the final possession, you just feel like he's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to find a way to get this team to win.
I always love coaching decisions or theory behind it. I'm really fascinated by time and score and situational sports. And last night when the Steelers had the ball, tie game, and this was the time before the second to last time they had the possession. It was a little over 2 minutes, or was it right around 2 minutes? And they got into a third. They were in a weird spot of the field, and they punted. I went, oh, man. Well, you have your timeouts, but I'm not sure you're going to get the ball back, but I guess they're okay with going to overtime.
Yeah.
And then Green Bay ran the first play, and that's the one they sacked Hundley, where that was kind of the helmet-to-helmet with Watt on Hundley.
He took a shot.
And they didn't call timeout, and I went, wow, okay. Well, I guess if they stop him here, they will.
Yeah.
And then they did, and they stopped him on third down. They called it again, and I went.
Well, they went out of bounds, I think, on the second.
You're right.
The second down play.
Second down, they ran out of bounds. So
I was curious about that, too. It's like they didn't. Maybe he wasn't going to call timeouts.
Yeah.
But then he went out of bounds and thought, okay.
Stop him on third, which they did. And then timeout. And then they had enough time, but not a lot.
No, they didn't have very much.
They lost about 30 seconds of valuable time. But I just think that was interesting, and in the end it worked for him because of that amazing catch by Brown and then a heck of a kick at the end of the game, too.
I wonder if Mike Tomlin not calling that timeout almost to a certain degree confused the Packers.
It might have.
Or maybe they just – not confused him, that's the wrong – but they thought, okay, we're just going to overtime.
Yeah.
Because running out of bounds on the second down play is like, oh. Because if he has to call a timeout there – go back to that. He'd have to use all his timeouts right there. Everything plays out the same. The incredible Antonio Brown catch. Remember the Le'Veon Bell play?
Yeah,
that was you could see Roethlisberger's visual frustration after that play. He had gone from Bosley was a career long 51. He had just taken it back 2 yards, but they had to call timeout right there.
Mm-hmm.
And without that play there on second down, they may not have that. Here's how that game ended last night. This is the type of thing the Steelers do. They're going to win this game. But Phil Dawson's 57-yarder.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this for you. I'm going to make you stick around for it. We'll air that before we get out of here. It is it's a great bro call. Like
Arizona, so I know the.
It's not Brock.
Yeah,
but man, it's
the analyst jumping in, right?
Oh yeah,
I haven't heard it, but I know who the.
But I'm gonna make you stick around and wait for that. I promise we'll have it for you in the next less than 20 minutes or so.
Well, that was gonna be one of my best of the weekend. One of the other ones, I went with Alabama college basketball because of what they did playing with three players. But Vinatieri, they didn't win, but he was having a big day. Here's Dawson hitting the game winner in a long one. The old guys, the old kickers, I thought had a good weekend, which was fun to see.
Well, how about that, though? You know, the kickers, Phil Dawson, all of that. How about the Jaguars getting beat by the Cardinals?
I know.
Blaine Gabbert.
And
revenge game.
And he is back and starting again this week. Again, Arizona, I don't know what they are. They just keep kind of finding ways to hang around, and I don't think they're very good.
I refuse to stop saying this. Jacksonville would be a Super Bowl favorite with a competent quarterback.
The right one, yeah. Yeah.
Just anyone. He would 160 yards on 33 pass attempts yesterday. He was 19 of 33 yesterday, 160 yards. He had as many touchdowns as you and I did. They were still in that game. He rushed in a couple.
I want to see where you're – I'm going to gauge your competent quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's their quarterback. Super Bowl favorite or Super Bowl contender?
No.
Okay. Andy Dalton? Because I know if I say Brady and Ben.
I want to say yes.
Flacco?
No.
Dak?
Yeah.
No. Wait, why were you hesitant?
No, I don't know.
Don't change on Dak that fast.
No, I'm not bad on Dak. What's so the defense is significantly better for Jacksonville, right?
Right. Taking Bortles out, putting these guys in. What happened?
I think – I don't know that – I mean, the Cowboys – I mean, obviously the Jaguars' defense is significantly better than the Cowboys. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Andy – I mean, Alex Smith?
No. I'm not going to die on that hill.
Let's see.
We're replacing Blake Bortles as the Jaguars' quarterback here to make them a Super Bowl
Eli.
Contender. You know,
with Tom Coughlin.
Yes, I think so. I don't think Eli's as bad as it appears.
Yeah.
I had Eli going somewhere next year. Oh, Denver. Shipped Eli off to Denver.
I think Jacksonville makes some sense, though.
I think it'll work. Yeah. Well, obviously, with the Coughlin tie-in, you have Leonard Fournette back there. I wonder, I can't imagine like a coach or a play caller, specifically a play caller who's going through the game and they're like, well, we have Leonard Fournette back there, but he's not having a good day.
Yeah.
Like, when do you just, okay, we're not running Leonard Fournette anymore.
Right.
You know, the same decision that the Cowboys made. I think the Cowboys made theirs more out of incompetence than anything else because Alfred Morris was actually running the ball well. But Leonard Fournette had 12 carries for 25 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not good. But 12 carries isn't a lot for your franchise back either.
Yeah, here's where maybe if you're, you know, we were talking about the Niners earlier about what they've done, but let's say they finish as they are, which would likely be the second worst record in the NFL. You call Jacksonville and say, yeah, you want one of these stud young quarterbacks? You're not getting them wherever you're picking.
Mm-hmm.
We'll flop. We'll go to 18 or 20, wherever you're picking. You can have number two, and we want, you know.
I think the price is really steep for a young team like Jacksonville to give up those draft picks. We think a competent quarterback or a more competent quarterback makes them a significantly better team. They're 7-4 right now.
Right.
Let's not take anything away from them. But I don't know that you roll the dice on the next 2 years of number one picks when you're still piecing things together.
So you get more of a known quantity.
I think that's what you have to do. Now, Eli's a bit older. You're talking like one or two. I had Kirk Cousins. I had Jacksonville as a good landing spot for Kirk Cousins.
Any of Minnesota's three?
Well, that's what I was going to say. What happens with Case? I'm ruling Bradford out. I think Bradford's career as an intentional starter is over.
Okay.
So
you're signing him as a backup.
So Keenum or Bridgewater? I don't think they're both there next year. Yeah, maybe one of them there. Case Keenum, I was dead wrong about. Put Case Keenum in. If you had named Case Keenum in that competent quarterback list, I might have Jacksonville a little bit higher because he's out of that Jeff Fisher mold, man. He is a good freaking quarterback.
Yeah, he's done very well.
Dead wrong on him. You got to hear the Phil Dawson game-winning field goal. We'll play that for you. And who are the most dangerous teams on the outside of the playoff race right now? We got a couple of them, and I think there's a couple of ones worth paying attention to. We touched on a few of them in the AFC a few minutes ago. That's next here on the Lowdown. Philadelphia Eagles are 10-1. They have the league's best record, and they've won each of their last five games by double digits. The average margin of victory, Jason H.W. Ross, 23.4 points in that stretch. With a win next week or a loss by the Cowboys on Thursday, Philadelphia will become the first team this season to wrap up their divisional title.
Any chance that we feel differently about them in a few weeks just because of Kansas City? I wouldn't have seen this with Kansas City.
Nope.
And the only reason I say it, at the Seahawks, at the Rams, and then 2 weeks later they host the Raiders. If they lose two or three of those?
Not for me.
Okay.
Because I don't think they're going to lose two or three. I think they'll lose one. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
You asked me at midway point. When the season started, I didn't think 14-2.
Right.
But at midway, you asked, well, what are they going to finish the season at? I kept thinking, Alshon Jeffrey, they're doing all this. Alshon Jeffrey's not involved yet.
Yeah.
They're doing all this. Torrey Smith's not involved yet. They made a trade that none of us saw coming with Jay Ajayi as their running back. And 14-2.
Yeah.
I think they lose one of those. Maybe it's not even one of those games.
It could be a different one. Cowboys at the end. Who knows?
It's like a form of the Seahawks at this point. It's like the artist. I mean, I know Russ is still there, and Russ is the guy.
Yeah.
And they absolutely. But Cam Chancellor's gone. Richard Sherman's gone. Like, you can't. I thought if you were going to remove any piece of a defense that is so locked together like Seattle is, they could rebound from it. But now you're starting to remove multiple pieces.
Yeah, too many.
And it's like, you're starting to lose the boom. You're starting to lose the legion. You're losing something here. And you just can't expect for them to continue to make up for it. I just looked at the red bar across the screen of the TV in front of us. Martellus Bennett, Patriots tight end, will go to injured reserve. He is done for the season. And if you believe some of his earlier talk, he is done for the year. I'm so sorry, his career is done. Excuse me. He had noted he was going to retire. So we'll see if he follows through.
Interesting day.
Yeah, David Fizdale out as the Memphis Grizzlies head coach. That was a stunner. I want to play this Phil Dawson game-winning kick for you in just a minute, but I want to get to Dean first. Dean, you're our first and only today, man. We appreciate you. What do you got for us? Actually, Dean, we weren't even ready for you. We didn't even have the phones up. We just were not prepared today.
There
Dean,
he
what's
is.
Happening, man?
Hey, I just had to call because how happy is J-Rock that Chip Kelly is the Bruins head coach? I know you guys are talking NFL, but, you know, talk about turning a program around. I think it's going to – the Pac-12 just made the Pac-12 so much more interesting. And with him there, I think the Bruins it's going to make them an instant potential college playoff contenders.
Spoiler alert, Dean.
What's that?
Jay Ross isn't that thrilled about it.
Yeah, I wasn't in love with it. I mean, I'll agree with you that he makes the Pac-12 a little more interesting, but I don't know. I don't know what it guarantees. He was fantastic at Oregon, but I don't know that that's going to happen exactly the same way at UCLA. I'm hopeful, but I don't know.
Really? I would have thought. I just can't see how he won't do well there. He's got access to all that talent. I mean, he was taking a lot of talent from Southern California anyway when he was up at Oregon. And now that he's down there in UCLA, you surprised me, Jay Ross. I thought you'd be pretty happy about that. I'm a Southern Cal fan, and I thought, man, Kelly goes there. I think it's going to make that very interesting down there.
Well, I hope he does. I mean, honestly, like I said earlier, Dean, if he starts winning, I'm going to forgive all that. I mean, if they win a ton, I mean, Jim Mora came in there and won 10 games his first 2 years, had good recruits. I mean, he might have the number one draft pick what to me is they wasted Josh Rosen. What to me looks like a national championship caliber quarterback won't play in any really meaningful games. And so if that's all coaching, then great. But I think they've been able to recruit pretty good players. It's just they haven't won enough for anybody's liking.
Yeah, Rosen, he looks so good in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the NFL scouts he really looks well.
Yeah, I think he'll be a better pro. I really do. Around pro receivers and pro schemes, I think he'll be really good professional.
I think so, too. You surprised me, Jay Ross. I thought for sure you'd be happy. We had the family dinner, of course, on Thanksgiving, and a lot of Southern Cal fans in my family. And my dad was like, I hope Chip Kelly doesn't go to UCLA. Mm-hmm. And then he did. And he was having grumpy leftovers on Sunday. So, anyway.
We appreciate
thanks,
you, Dean.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, buddy. I got to play this for you, Jay Ross.
Okay.
Phil Dawson, game winner yesterday. Get your boy, man.
The old guy.
That's Brockish.
Ish.
That is. I mean, there's no one like Brock.
No.
But I love that guy. Ice water in the veins. I will never ever get old.
No, I love that one.
I love Brock. You gotta be me. Cooper Rush throwing a touchdown pass there. Central Michigan.
The Chippewas.
You know, a couple of texts have come in here about teams to quarterbacks to put on the Jaguars.
To make them better?
I've gotten a couple of you mentioned Joe Flacco. I said no, adamantly, like no. But I don't know if it's – I don't know if they're Ravens fans or there's a couple of people who have said it. No, Flacco would make them better. Has Flacco hurt Baltimore or has Baltimore hurt Flacco?
I don't know. He's had a really weird year. I mean, he's had some of those games where he had less than 100 yards passing.
I feel like he's had a weird career.
Yeah.
His whole career is weird.
Well, it's going to be an inspiring Monday night game tonight with him and the Texans.
Which we have not mentioned here until 2 hours and 54 minutes into the show.
Yeah, we're saving the public out there. We do not have the game tonight because we have Kings basketball. But, yeah, not here in that football game tonight.
Is there a possibility that the Kings score less points in a quarter than the Ravens do?
For a game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either one of those teams, yeah.
Because the Ravens, I think we're talking like 10 to 13 points here. That's what we're talking about, in my eyes, with the Ravens.
Yeah.
But I also hate them.
So yeah.
I might not be the best judge of
all. And they're technically kind of still in this weird wild card mix in the AFC.
They are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams still in it. Yeah. Dallas is in it. We mentioned Green Bay a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. If Green Bay had won that game, they would be really heading up that wild card race there in the NFC that has become a complete mess.
Yeah, both divisions, both sides.
I mean, Buffalo's back in
it.
I don't know that – you know, we talked about them earlier when talking about the AFC. If there's a team that I'm nervous about, it's the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, yeah.
If them sneaking in with the defense that they have, with the quarterback that they have, with the running back that they have. Kareem Allen has had, like – I know this is a day's work for Julio Jones, but he's had, like, 300 yards plus with, like – four touchdowns over the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
That offense is just – now, granted, they were playing the Cowboys one week. I can't remember who they beat up the week before. But they're rolling now.
Yeah, and even when they went to New England a few weeks ago, I thought they played them well. I mean, they just – they're in every game. They're always close. And when you have Phillip Rivers, I feel like you have a chance. But that front four is really good. That defense is getting after guys. So it makes them dangerous. And the Chiefs have left the door open for them, for the Raiders. So it's going to hopefully make for a fun finish.
Some Stanford fans here on the text line.
Yeah.
Gearing up for Friday.
Yeah. Pac-12 championship.
Yeah. Lots of Stanford fans. We're done. We're finished. Thanks for bearing with me today. We greatly appreciate it. Download the KHDK app. It's brand new. I know you're used to radio.com. I think you can still do tune in, but just get KHDK. It's nothing but our programming. It includes Jim Rome, The Drive, and Grant Doug coming up here in just a few minutes. So download that. You can listen to us anywhere in the entire world. So get that done. If you wouldn't mind, rate us as well. It's really good for us. It makes our web people happy. We don't know what it does, but we know that it does something. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about Kings Warriors tonight. More fallout from the David Fizdale firing. We'll recap the Monday Night Football game, winners, losers, one small thought, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.